Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 172 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her forest bathing. Yeah, you heard me right. This is really going to be interesting. And before we begin, I just want you to know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your reminder to click on to iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. We sit around looking forward to hearing from you and getting your feedback. Oh, heck, we just like to hear from you. So make sure to do that, and I'll give you another reminder later on. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Okay, truth up front. I'm an absolute naturaholic. I truly am. When I was pre-med at the University of California at Berkeley, I actually double majored, not just in pre-med, that was cellular biology, ho-hum, yawn, but also in conservation of natural resources, which was at that time a brand new department. And today, flashing forward, we don't know how many years, is now the premier school of conservation of natural resources in the United States. So how cool is that? And meaning that I look for any excuse I can to get on outside. I've stayed on top of the science of nature. Yep, we actually study what happens to human beings when you actually go out into nature, no matter where that nature is, whether it's a forest or not. And it's becoming more and more exciting. So when I stumbled upon the work of our guest, who is Melanie Chukis Bradley, and her book is The Joy of Forest Bathing, Reconnect with Wild Places and Rejuvenate Your Life. I almost fell off my chair. I was so happy. I said, oh my God, somebody who totally gets it here. And with her background, which she's going to tell us all about, she has not only written this brand new book that's just coming on out, she'll tell you when, right? Like now. She's also the author of other natural history books, including the highly acclaimed City of Trees, The Complete Field Guide to the Trees of Washington, D.C. Well, since I'm kind of like an inhabitant here, can't wait to read that one, let alone. And I don't want to waste any more time. I want to hop into this segment because I know for a natural fact what you're going to learn, you're going to be able to put to work practically in your life after the segment, and you're going to benefit so greatly from that. So here we go. Melanie, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you so much, Dr. Peek.
All right, Melanie, how in the heck did you get into this whole thing with forest bathing? I mean, what's your background? Why were you interested in this in the first place?
Great question. Well, I've always loved nature. I grew up in Vermont, wandering through the hills and fields from a really young age. And then I moved to Washington, D.C. as a young adult when my husband started law school. And I was looking for an upstanding job, but not finding that right away, I instead fell in love with the trees of Washington. We were living on Capitol Hill, and Capitol Hill is known for a lot of things, but I don't think it's known well enough for its gorgeous trees and the landscaping around the Capitol by Frederick Law Olmsted. So I fell in love with the trees. I wrote my first book, City of Trees, and then my life just took a turn from there. I've spent my whole life writing about nature. I've published several books and leading lots of nature walks here in Washington. Another thing we're not known for is we've got lots of beautiful parkland here. And this is just, this whole city is kind of an oasis with tree-lined streets and lots of parks and gardens. And so I lead walks. I lead tree tours on foot and by bicycle and by kayak in the Potomac River. And when I heard about forest bathing a few years ago, it just really struck a chord with me. A natural history field study student of mine gave me an article from Oprah's magazine, of all things. And this was, I think, back in 2014. And it described this practice called Shin-Din-Yoku. It's spelled like Shinrin-Yoku, but it's pronounced, I understand, a little bit more like Shin-Din-Yoku. And this practice had started in Japan in the 1980s. And it simply encourages people to go out in nature, breathe deeply, be quiet, and absorb the beauty and wonder through all your senses. And when I read about it, as I wrote in my new book, The Joy of Forest Bathing, I felt like my whole body relaxed into a full body smile. It just felt like exactly what I had been doing all my life and what I wanted to learn more about. So I became a certified forest therapy guide, and I now lead forest bathing walks here in Washington, and sometimes I travel to other places to lead them. I went out and led one in Aspen this summer, and I love the practice, and I have visited Japan and gone on forest bathing walks in Japan, and that was a real treat. That was last fall. So it's just really become an important part of my life. It was always there, but now I have a name for it.
Well, isn't that, you know, I love the term forest bathing. I mean, it just gives you this, ooh, sensual feeling. And you can immediately envision yourself standing in the middle of a fragrant forest and just putting your arms out and, you know, grabbing some sunlight and just, oh my gosh, you know, it's just the best. And as a naturaholic, I can't, you know, countless times I've experienced that. And nothing makes me more frustrated than when I hear about people who've never really enjoyed any of that, who've never really embraced it or gotten into it because, you know, they just weren't into nature per se, and trying to find some way to entice them to get into it. And this issue of forest bathing itself is a very provocative, compelling theme. I think it really kind of grabs people, and they almost immediately say, "What? What's that? Tell me more." At which point in time, of course, now I can refer them to your wonderful book as well. But I love it. I think it's really cool. When you do these retreats, is this something that you organize yourself, or is somebody on the other end, like in Aspen or wherever, organizing it, and then you meet up with them? How does that work?
Yeah, so the formal forest bathing walks I lead, not that they're formal, but I mean the ones that people register for, they are all sponsored by organizations that are focused on nature in some way. So I lead walks for the Audubon Naturalist Society. I lead walks for Casey Trees, the Rock Creek Conservancy. And, you know, organizations that are focused on protecting nature, you know, conserving nature, and also getting people out in nature. I'm going to be doing some really fun things this fall. I am leading forest bathing walks among the bonsai trees at the National Arboretum. I did that back in the spring as well. And those trees were a gift from Japan at the bicentennial. And one of them is 400 years old. And,
good Lord.
I know, it's incredible. It's a pine tree, and it actually survived the blast at Hiroshima. It was fairly near the blast at Hiroshima. So it's just an amazing gift that Japan gave us in 1976. So it really resonates with meaning in so many ways. I'm also going to be leading forest bathing walks for Smithsonian Associates behind the Smithsonian Castle. There's a beautiful garden back there, and I'm going to lead walks there. So one of the things I really encourage people in my book to do is to find a place near where you live, because you don't have to, you know, get on a train and ride for 2 hours to get to the forest. You can forest bathe in your own backyard. If you have a backyard, if you have a garden, if you have a park down the street, I really encourage people to find what I call a wild home and adopt it and just go there as often as you can. And the more you do it, the more health benefits you will get and the more joy. But even if you only do it occasionally, it still benefits your health.
I love it. And so aren't there specific pieces of the whole forest bathing strategy, as it were. It's sort of three steps, right? The disengagement, the deep breathing, and the transitioning. Can you go through that a little bit? You know, that disengagement, I can only imagine a whole bunch of people showing up with their cell phones, you know, and they're starting to go into a lovely place and they're taking calls and they're, you know, scrolling through because God forbid they should miss something, et cetera, et cetera. So tell us the rules of engagement for something like this.
Sure. Well, the first thing is to disengage from electronics. And I think of the airplane mode on my phone as forest bathing mode. So you want to put your phone in forest bathing mode. And really, that's, you know, one of the main mental health benefits is just disengaging from electronics, because we are all so overly tuned in now to that. And so you turn off your phone, and then the first thing you want to do is to really relax. So a good way to do that, and I know a lot of people have experience with meditation and yoga and Tai Chi and other mindfulness practices, and so I think it will resonate with most people that the breath is really important. So you want to breathe deeply, you know, take some deep belly breaths, and just settle into your surroundings. And if it's just a little park in the city or in your neighborhood, you know, sit under a tree, make yourself really comfortable, and then you want to, you know, that's the first part. And then the second part is just tuning in with all your senses. So you want to notice what's in motion, you know, notice the birds flying by, get close, you know, notice an ant walking across the ground. It's amazing how once you start noticing what's in your surroundings, how engaged you will feel, and you watch the breeze in the leaves, and then tune into the sounds around you, the birds, the wind, even the city sounds. Just take it all in. You want to, you know, smell things around you. If you know plants at all, you'll know which ones are apt to be fragrant, and smelling fragrant plants is really beneficial and enjoyable. And then if there's any water nearby, it's nice to listen to flowing water, to observe the reflections in the water, any life in and around and above the water. Maybe you can wade into the water. Then also commune with a tree. If, you know, communing with a tree is a really powerful nature connection. If you're not, you know, in a forest or where there are trees, you can commune with a cactus, although maybe not with a hug.
like bag the hug on that one.
Yeah, bag the hug on the cactus. If you're on the beach, you might tune into some beautiful driftwood or just to the motion of the waves. So you want to just really let yourself be immersed. And, you know, I know you really love that phrase, forest bathing, as do I, and that's what you're doing. You're just really immersing yourself in your surroundings. And then the last part of the walk, so that's step two, which is the main part of the walk. Step three is transitioning back to your daily life. And, you know, I lead a lot of forest bathing walks, and I find that people are often reluctant to go back to their routines because so many of us are under so much stress. And so it's important that you transition back. And I like to read some of my favorite poems. Mary Oliver poems are always wonderful on a forest bathing walk. Wendell Berry poems, quotes by John Muir, inspiring nature, poetry, and quotations. And then we always, at the close of our guided forest bathing walks, and they do this in Japan and all over the world where guided forest bathing walks are going on, is have some tea. Have some tea and a snack, and just kind of ease yourself back to the world. So those are the three steps. And, you know, it's great if you have 2 to 4 hours to do this, but if you only have a few minutes, it's still worthwhile. You won't be able to do all of these things in that much depth, but even 15 or 20 minutes, if you can step outside your office and sit under a tree or sit on a park bench and just tune in to the sights and sounds and smells around you, it's really beneficial. And actually, some of the research shows that the benefits of being out in nature last for up to a week or even a month after you're out in nature. So
Well, actually, it's called, you know, there's a whole, well, as you're well aware, there's a whole science to this. It's called eco-psychology.
Yes.
And they've actually measured cortisol or stress hormone levels of people as they've, you know, begun their wonderful tour de force into nature and what happens to those levels as they leave and go back to their daily activities outside of nature. And they found that clearly everything from blood pressure to pulse rate to cortisol levels decrease, and it's sustainable, just as you mentioned. And this is so healing and so wonderful when we're all so stressed out of our brains out there, to say the least. What I loved in your book was looking at the seasons, you know, autumn, forest bathing, et cetera, and really embracing, if you live in a place where there are seasons, you know, the beauty and the changing and the transitions. I think those are just amazing. But there's something else I thought was kind of cool here, and I'd like you to talk to everyone about, and that is what we call compatible activities. So, you know, if you can't do that forest bathing at that very second, what are other things you can do that are kind of compatible to that?
Sure. Yeah, I will get into that. I just wanted to comment on what you were saying. When I was on my forest bathing trip in Japan, before and after every walk, we had our blood pressure, pulse rate, and stress hormone levels checked. And it was amazing to see the before and after. On every forest bathing walk I went on, my blood pressure, all my vitals went, you know, showed that I was very relaxed. Anyway, yeah, compatible activities. So not everyone has time to sit under a tree for 3 hours. As wonderful as that is, and how much, you know, many of us would like to be able to spend that kind of time totally relaxed. So what I recommend in my book in this chapter on compatible activities is that whatever you do outdoors that you like doing, whether it's hiking, cycling, paddling, gardening, any sort of outdoor activity, if you can take a few moments during that activity and just sit quietly, you know, slow down, breathe deeply, and just absorb the beauty of your surroundings, it will heighten the experience for you. So I do recommend ways that you can tie it into those activities. Also, if you do any sort of mindfulness practices now, you can take them outside. You know, yoga, tai chi, and meditation all work really well outdoors. In Japan, they weave yoga into many of their forest bathing walks. In fact, they even have platforms deep in the forest just for yoga on forest bathing walks. So those are all compatible activities. And nature journaling, birding, botanizing, anything you like to do outdoors, you can enhance with some forest bathing.
Have you ever done tai chi yourself?
Yes. My sister and brother-in-law are they practice tai chi several times a week, and they live in Vermont. So whenever I visit them in Vermont, or when they visit me here in Washington, we do tai chi together. I get in the middle of them so that I can mirror what they're doing. I love doing tai chi outdoors. I've done it with them in the snow when it was like 10 degrees and windy, and it was wonderful. Yes, I love tai chi. I would like to do it more. I'm more of a yoga person. I do yoga every chance I get.
Awesome. Okay. And then, okay, outdoor activities. Other things are ephemeral creations, right? So sketching, journaling.
Yes.
Writing some poetry, songwriting. That sounds beautiful.
Yes, that's so, you know, one of the things, some of the research that's been done on cognition, you know, when people are out in nature, and I'm sure you've read about some of these studies, where not only do you become more focused and, you know, have fewer ruminative thoughts, but being out in nature really boosts your imagination and creativity. And another, those things you mentioned are all great. And another thing you can do is to just make art with petals and stones and shells and, you know, anything you find that you want to, like, make a little creation with of any kind, whether it's abstract or, you know, you can build, children love to build little fairy houses. It's really fun to do that with children, or you can make things that will float downstream. And, you know, this will all ultimately be washed away by the rain or the tides, but it's really fun to create things from nature.
And you mentioned, you know, children, and, you know, one of the things that you have stressed in your book is forest bathing for all ages. This is an intergenerational play, which I love. I mean, you mentioned, you know, even looking at teenagers, you know, certainly they welcome the relief from stress. So talk to us about forest bathing for all ages and how healing that can be.
Oh, it is so healing. Well, children just love being in nature. They just go wild. They come alive when they're out in nature. So that's a given. And they just want to be free and free to play in the woods or in the parks. And there are doctors now who are prescribing nature. I think you might be one of them, right, Dr. Peek? Where you prescribe
all
nature
day
to
long? You better know that.
Yes. Yes. Well, yeah, and there's an organization now which you may know about called Park RX America. It was started by Dr. Robert Czar here in Washington, and this is a group of physicians that is prescribing nature to their patients. So, you know, children love it. Teenagers, I led two forest bathing walks for teenagers last spring, and I couldn't believe how much they enjoyed it. We climbed up a little mountain near Washington called Sugarloaf Mountain, and when we got to the top, they just draped themselves over the rocks. They just
loved it.
I mean, and some of them, I think, fell asleep, which was great. And they were so happy to be on that mountain, to be unplugged, you know, away from the classroom, away from social media, and just out in nature. They had such a wonderful time. And then, you know, when you're pregnant, it's great to be out in nature. And I know, like, with both of my children's births, I spent a lot of time in labor outdoors. And then, of course, I took my newborns outside right away. And then at the other end of life, it's such a comfort for older people to be out in nature. And if you have mobility issues, you know, if your mobility is limited, if you use a walker or a wheelchair, there are more and more accessible trails that are easy to navigate, and that's a really important thing. And I talk about that in my book. I talk about when my father-in-law had Alzheimer's, I wheeled him around in his wheelchair, and we would go right up to the trees, and he would pat the bark with his gloved hands in the wintertime, and I would, like, break some of the foliage of the pines and the firs. This is up in northern New England in New Hampshire, and so he could smell it, and he just loved it. He loved being out, and so I just think that whatever age you are, or, you know, whatever phase of life, whatever fitness level, forest bathing, it can be something that will benefit you. There's also research showing that recovery from illness and surgery and even addiction can be helped by time spent in nature.
Absolutely.
Even if it's only seeing trees outside your window.
I mean, that counts. No question about it.
Yes.
You can bathe right into that little, you know, plant or whatever you have. All of it counts. But getting out into nature is absolutely one of the most healing things. And that's not just a bunch of airy-fairy, earthy, crunchy stuff. Science really has shown that there is a distinct and profound power to the healing that one can actually experience when exposed to nature and natural surroundings. And then toward the end of the book, you talk about forest tending. What is that?
Yes, forest tending. That's a phrase that Amos Clifford, who founded the Association of Nature and Forest Therapy Guides and Programs, he lives in California, and his organization has trained guides all over the world. And he uses this phrase, and I love this phrase. So forest tending is any kind of caretaking you do for a wild place that you love, whether it's picking up trash, removing invasive plants, you know, advocating for good environmental policy, battling climate change, anything you do that's benefiting your wild home is tending. And for me, you know, I always hated, like, taking a trash bag into the woods and hauling it out full of trash. It just wasn't my favorite thing. But when I think of it as I am tending, you know, like I spend a lot of time in Rock Creek Park in Washington, and I am tending a rock that I call the meditation rock. I'm tending the creek side. I'm tending the forest by taking out trash. It just feels more nurturing than just simply picking up trash. So, and I, in that chapter, I talk about how when you are a forest bather, you're so tuned in to your surroundings that you really fall in love with them, and you don't want anything bad to happen to them. So forest bathing really dovetails with environmental awareness and a desire to make our planet home a healthy, happier place.
Well, you also advocate for becoming part of a community of environmental stewards. And could someone out there find for themselves in terms of environmental stewards?
Well, I think, you know, you can work nationally, but I think and globally, you know, there are a lot of things that we can do that are just healthy habits and policies. But I really encourage people to find out about the local environmental protection groups in their area. So, like, in our area, we have several really wonderful locally focused organizations that some of them work hand in hand with the National Park Service. Like the Rock Creek Conservancy works with the National Park Service to take care of Rock Creek Park in Washington. And then Friends of Theodore Roosevelt Island works with the National Park Service to take care of Theodore Roosevelt Island. Audubon Naturalist Society, there are Casey Trees, there are all sorts of organizations in my orbit here in Washington that I'm very involved with, and I support their work. And, you know, there are lots of volunteer opportunities where you can get trained to remove invasive plants. And even if you don't have training, you can go out on volunteer days and do it with different organizations. So whatever you can do to get involved is really helpful.
So if we're summarizing all of this now, what we're finding is that forest bathing is really code for get on out to nature again, connect or reconnect, but make it an integral piece of your life. Make it an integral piece of your life. And most importantly, I am absolutely telling you that you're going to love this book. I was just telling Melanie before we started our episode here that the book is just gorgeous. The illustrations are just priceless. They're beautiful. And it's a small book. I think it makes for an absolutely beautiful present for someone. I'm already thinking I'm going to give this to my sister for sure, who's another natureaholic. So I really want to make certain you know that this is just such a gift to yourself, let alone to the other people you want to share it with over time. Now, Melanie, how can people find out more about your work and your books?
So the book is coming out as we speak, so it should be on its way to bookstores and gift shops, and it can be ordered on Amazon now. It can be ordered on Politics and Prose, and I'm sure many other online booksellers. So it shouldn't be too hard to find The Joy of Forest Bathing. If you want to learn more about my work and register for any of my events, and I have a lot of them coming up, I have a website, and it's www.melaniechukasbradley.com. That's kind of a mouthful. Do you want me to spell it?
You better spell it.
I better spell it. Oh, gosh. I always take a deep breath when I have to spell my name and my website. So it is www.melaniechukasbradley, And then my last name, which is a hyphenated name, CHOUKAS-BRADLEY.com. Got that?
Okay, so that was MelanieChoukas-Bradley.com. The name of the book is The Joy of Forest Bathing, Reconnect with Wild Places and Rejuvenate Your Life. I'm so happy that you were able to come on to this episode and to share your wisdom about all things nature. And I hope that everyone out there runs on over to your website, learns more about your work, signs up for perhaps a forest bathing retreat or two, and, of course, buys your book to enhance their own life. So, Melanie, thank you so much for being on the Herb Podcast.
Thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure, Dr. Peek.
All right. Excellent. And everyone out there, I hope you really enjoyed this. So much so that you're going to take a minute right now to hit iTunes and rate and review this episode. Oh boy, I can't wait to hear your feedback because this was really extra special. Well, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. And hey, stay well.